Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome to a brand new edition of the behind the scenes TV podcast Soap from the Box. And what a special episode I've got for you for a very special week. Oh yes, Neighbours has pulled off the biggest back from the dead plot twist in its history. The beloved Australian soap has shocked everyone this week by making an announcement it will be making a return in 2023. How exciting, with a brand new home on streaming service Amazon Freevee. I, for one, am very excited. It means I've got lots more soap stars to talk to just for you. Remember, there are 60 episodes of Soap from the Box available right now to download. So once you've listened to this one, have a look back at the menu and see who else you fancy listening to. To celebrate Neighbours coming back, I've got an interview with Matty Wilson. I did this a little while ago. He plays Aaron in the show. Very popular, very lovely guy. Enjoy. Propelled into the limelight in 2015 when he joined Australia's longest running TV show Neighbours, my guest today landed the role by sending a video of himself performing a scene before he got his audition. Destined as a guest part only, his enduring quality promoted him to a full-time cast member. He also recently managed to keep becoming a dad secret until he actually became a dad. Yes, he knows how to pull off a cliffhanger. Aaron Brennan, the man with a big heart but a cheeky streak himself, please welcome Matty Wilson. Hello, mate.
Lee, what an intro.
Yeah,
thanks,
well,
that's so kind of you.
That's okay. It's lovely to have you on the podcast. Thanks for being a guest, and well done for pulling off that. I mean, I love, actually, when I get guests and I've tried to research you, and you're obviously an actor who keeps his personal life private, which I love, how it should be. So very hard to find like little quirky facts about you. But I mean, that must have been quite hard keeping that a secret, though.
What's that?
Being a dad.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. No, I don't know why we did it that way.
It's your business, I suppose. So it's nice to keep it with the two people who means the most to.
I don't know. I think maybe growing older has made me tune out of social media just a little bit more.
There's something about soap, because over here, obviously, our longest running soap is Coronation Street. That's been going 64 years, I think. And there's still some people there. The longest cast member is there for like 61 years, which is just incredible. I mean, obviously, when you got the role, I said before, it was supposed to be a guest part, and then you got promoted to full time. So was that weird in itself? Because obviously your mind sets you, I think, was it 10 weeks you were supposed to be there originally?
Yeah, maybe 8 weeks, I think it was. It was basically at the same time. So I'd been a carpenter for 10 years, and it takes 7 years to apply for your builder's license, and I had the paperwork ready to go on a Friday when I got an email from Jason Herbison saying, we'd like to offer you the 8-week role. I mean, 8 weeks isn't really enough to quit your career, but we seemed to make it stick. So we're still here nearly 7 years later.
That's amazing. Oh, so you were just about to actually start. You weren't like, you hadn't got the license. You were just about to embark on that.
No, it took 7 years to get that qualification.
That's like a lawyer.
Quit it.
That's like a lawyer over here.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to go to university or anything, but it still took a long time. But I don't know. Maybe it was just fate. Fate had it. And here we are.
The stars aligned. Now, it says, I read that you did this, that you auditioned the scene before you went in. But was that them asking you, or had you kind of gone off your own back to do that?
Yeah, I don't know if you, I don't know if you know, but I actually applied for Tyler Brennan.
Oh, right. Okay.
And I got down to one of the three finalists, so for lack of a better term. Where does this start? So basically, what happened was I did acting school years and years, like just for fun, just with some other tradie mates. And we would go to the pub for dinner and then go to acting school on a Thursday night. And we would just around. No one ever wanted to do it for a living. And I was also doing presenting work at that time for other stuff. So I had a manager. And then my manager called me one day and said, hey, do you know how to act? And I really don't know. I didn't know how to act. And I said, shit, yeah, I can act. Oh, great actor. She's like, all right, can you put this tape down by tomorrow? And I was like, oh, man, why did I do that? So I hired an acting coach to help me with it because I was never really that good. We were only doing it for fun. So we got it and put it down. And then I got to one of the three spots for Tyler Brennan. And they flew me down to Melbourne from Sydney. And when a company's flying you interstate for a potential gig, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, that is really exciting. I'm sure you were actually good if you got down to the final three quite quickly.
I don't know. I can't even listen to my own voicemail. It makes me cringe, let alone watch myself on TV. So maybe it's just, maybe it's just my own self-criticism. So, but I didn't get Tyler. As you know, Travis Burns got Tyler. And then I think about 9 months later, or maybe it was a year later, Jason, he must have liked what I had, and he made a character, Aaron, based off what I did in the audition. He could see that there was something in there, and he was like, oh, I know what to do. Let's make another brother.
That's brilliant. That is brilliant, because I do these acting classes as well. We always say casting directors and directors don't really know what they're looking for when someone comes in. So that guy, obviously, he came in and gave them Tyler, but then they obviously went, oh, my God, we have to create a role for this. Because I've been on loads of soap auditions where then they get, you know, they've written roles purposely for other people. So it's even more of a cool, it's even more of a cool way in, isn't it? Getting a part written for you.
I know. What a story.
And you obviously relocated from Sydney, didn't you, to Melbourne? So English.
Melbourne.
I mean, what is that? I mean, obviously, you should have done Home and Away because you wouldn't have had to move. But I mean, is that a big lifestyle change, Sydney to Melbourne over there?
Mate, if I was on Home and Away, we would be in the sunshine. We would be on the beach.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be locked down.
massive difference. I think I'd been to Melbourne. I'd visited Melbourne once before. And it just like there's a big rivalry. I'm sure you've got the same rivalries over there. Sydney siders don't like people from Melbourne. People from Melbourne don't like people from Sydney. It's always Sydney's the best, Melbourne's the best. And so we never really cross over. And so it wasn't until I sort of got this also speaks to the cast and everything. It wasn't until I got the gig, moved down, met the cast, started going out for a dinner here and there, and built up like a group of friends. And before I knew it, I was a Melbournian.
what did your mates think to that?
I don't know. They're still on the building sites with sore backs and calluses all over their hands, so maybe they're a bit jealous.
And the weather is that different then? I mean, for people in the UK that wouldn't have been to Australia, I mean, I've been to both actually, and I love them both.
Yeah. What do you think?
Melbourne was more UK, I thought. I thought Sydney was more kind of American. In the wet, like just the sense.
Okay.
Well, probably because it's sunny and stuff. When I went to Melbourne, yeah, it was just raining the whole time.
Man, we get people over here from the UK all the time, and they go, "Man, this is so cold." Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. So if I was going to move to Australia, although saying that, I'd love to come and do Neighbours, obviously. So I would be basically
because you are.
Moving to the UK. But and we talked about that London episode. I mean, did you got, you know, some amazing people back from the old days, like Annie Jones and Jeff, obviously Stephen Dennis, the god of Neighbours. Did you realise how big, because it's huge over here still, but it used to be massive. Did you sense how big Neighbours was? Did you know how big it was going into it? I mean, were you a fan of it when you were young?
Look, I risk getting fired on this, but I was a fan of Home and Away.
Okay. Growing up.
We used to watch it the same time every day after school. and I never, ever, ever watched Neighbours, but I mean, it wasn't wasn't hard to adapt to. They're very different shows now.
Yeah,
they're once upon a time, I think they're more similar. Yeah.
I think they always were quite different in a way, because we embrace them both over here. Because I think Home and Away, yeah, you just escape to the beach every day. But there was something about Neighbours. There was similarity that people, but because of that, UK, it's the first. Now, you'll realise about the podcast, we play a lot of stupid games, but only basically to give people at home brilliant facts. So you might not know these. You probably won't know these. But do you know how many people watched the wedding of Scott and Charlene in the UK in 1988? to the nearest million.
Let's go 26 million.
Oh, no. Wow. You've gone really high. 19.6 million. That's incredible, isn't it? One episode, 19.6 million.
That is, like, I don't know if you know much about Australian TV ratings at the moment in terms of, like, not just soaps, but what peaks massively. And the Voice, when it was in its heyday maybe 5 years ago, that would peak at maybe 3 million.
Oh, really? Wow.
For the finale. And to think that, like, I don't know, maybe less people had TVs back in the Scott and Charlene days as well.
Yeah, well, we had less channels.
And 19 million.
That was on at like 5 o'clock or whatever back in the day as well. So it wasn't even peak time. It's like it showed the
yeah.
bit. Stefan was on the first episode and he said when they, because they flew the entire cast over for the Royal Variety Performance for the Queen at that peak. And they didn't even really know how big they were. Do you know what I mean? So they walked off the plane suddenly and they were like J-Lo walking off the plane. Do you know what I mean? It's crazy.
Stefan would have loved every minute of that too.
He would have loved. Yeah, he said you and him and Ryan Thomas had some fun when he was out playing on Neighbours as well.
Oh, yeah. We can't talk about that though.
No, he didn't talk about it either. What do these UK celebrities all have in common? Emma Bunton, Lily Allen, Matt Lucas and Michael Parkinson. I mean, it should be quite easy to see what we're talking about.
Those singers?
Yeah, no, they've all been in Neighbours. So Emma Bunton from the Spice Girls. Okay. Yeah, Lily Allen. I didn't know that. I didn't know these things.
Neither did I.
No, see, this
is funny because you see these like retro photos of superstars, absolute superstars who have cameoed on Neighbours years and years and years ago. And you're like, what? Why am I only learning about that now?
I know, it's incredible, isn't it? Those people that have been in it. Have you been to the UK? Are you a UK fan?
Yeah. I've been a couple of times.
Where have you been? London, around the UK? Would you do Panto actually? Because obviously not this year, but Panto was a big thing for Neighbours and us and Home.
Yeah, I know.
Tempted by
that. They look like so much fun as well, especially Ryan Maloney's efforts. He's, I think, in Ryan Maloney's house, for those, this is Toady, the Toadfish. Yeah. He's got this big poster of him in a Panto. It just looks like so much fun.
It's so much fun. If you don't know Panto, because they're not, you don't, do you have Pantos over there? No.
No, we do every now and then, but nowhere near as much as the UK.
It's a very weird phenomenon. My husband, I always say this, is from Lithuania. When he came and I took him to a pantomime, his head was blown for weeks because he was like, what the hell have you just taken me to watch?
But in a good way?
In a good way. It's just the weirdest thing. Great. It's meant for kids, but it's got like this whole different level that's so for adults. It's so clever how it does it. So you're actually watching
so clever.
Probably the rudest thing ever, but for kids.
They don't take themselves too seriously like a lot of theatre.
Yeah, no, you can't take yourself seriously if you're jumping around in a, you know, dress or whatever, but it is quite incredible. Okay, so now to go, to get through the storylines, what I do again is a bit of a quiz about the character. But again, everyone fails this miserably. People like
great.
Actors basically remember their lines for like 2 days and then everything else just gets forgotten because that's the way
exactly
it works.
Right. Yeah. So, deleted.
But I know you'll get this one. Which job did Aaron enter the show doing?
Stripper, exotic dancer.
Exotic dance.
We actually weren't allowed to say, because of the G rating, we weren't allowed to say the word stripper.
But no, exotic dancer. Makes you sound like you've got kind of, you're in the Caribbean somewhere. But I mean, how was that to go into that? I mean, not only is it nerve-wracking joining a soap, but then you have to join a soap taking your clothes off in the first scene.
Right. And not only that, I had to take my clothes off doing something but like I don't know how to do. I don't know how to dance. I can fake a lot of things, but I can't fake that. So it was some very clever editing. But it was weird too, you know, because like I said, we had to call it an exotic dancer because the G rating, there were so many rules around it as well.
Right.
And so they weren't allowed to shoot, to take any shot of me removing a piece of clothing, but you were allowed to show the clothing on and then cut to something else and then cut back to having the clothing off. And I was allowed to interact with one person in the crowd, but not two people, and no one was allowed to touch bare skin.
Right. Okay. That's weird because most people know that a piece of clothing would come off your body. So it's weird you can't see it coming off. Like
if you're at the beach, but there's no difference.
No, that's mad. Well, at least for the G rating, you knew there'd be like these stipulations in place, though, that it wouldn't go. But I mean, what was that? Do you remember this? Was it your actual first scene? Because as we know in Soap Again,
yeah,
a lot of things were out of order. Oh, so they did actually make it your first scene. They did make you that dive.
Mate, it's absolute evil. Like, well, how could you do that to me? I was so... No, it was good. There was it was with Colette, and Colette is she's a mum. She's a mama. And so she takes everyone under her wing and helps you through everything. So she was up there sort of guiding me through it, because not only do you think, wow, you're doing your first acting gig on an international TV show. You've got to remember your words, you have to remember the moves that you make, you have to remember people's names,
yeah,
you have to perform.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Wow.
And I had to learn how to dance. So it was pretty daunting, but I can't remember it that much, really.
Everyone on the podcast says they can't remember that, like, or they remember their first scene vividly. But what I've loved about this podcast is literally every single person has been on, their first scene was either in the pub, at a big like charity event in the show, or so I think basically they do just think, well, let's put you right in at the deep end because it can't get any harder than this. Did you get dark?
That's hilarious. Then?
Did you learn how to be an exotic dancer?
Look, I fell short of going to any clubs. I did watch Magic Mike a few times.
Oh yeah.
But you can't go from zero to Channing Tatum overnight.
No.
There's no possible way. So we had a couple of lessons, but I think we needed quite a few more.
No, I haven't seen this thing. I'm going to have to watch it after this, actually, to get my
better. Nah, you don't want to do that.
You had to Magic Mike a few times. That's going all out for your job as well. Anyone that loves Magic Mike, obviously, what a
brilliant. It's not a hard movie to watch. It's a pretty good movie.
It is quite funny. What was Aaron's backstory before he'd been exotic dancing?
So Aaron had been working in the mines,
yes,
in Western Australia. And he was also in a dance troupe.
Oh, he was in a dance troupe as well. Yeah, that's very much, yeah, that's very kind of Magic Mike-esque storyline, I suppose, isn't it, really?
Yeah. I guess it is, isn't it? Yeah.
Maybe not going down the mines, but I love that they gave it such a brilliant backstory. But anyway, so what other, name two other jobs he's had since.
He started a company. I guess Aaron's a bit of a entrepreneur, a wantrepreneur, so he wants to be. He thinks he's successful because he's registered a business name, and so he did start a company called Brand Enthusiasm, which just fizzled out. Which I guess was like a PR company or something. And he sort of organized all of the events in Erinsborough for a couple of months there, and then he went on to buy a gym called The Shed.
Yes. And before that, I've got that he was actually a bit for a while. He was a bodyguard for Paul Robinson.
Oh, my God. Oh, I completely forgot about that.
What a brilliant job for Paul Robinson. Absolutely hilarious. I'm sure Stefan comes up with these storylines. He's like, I think Paul needs a bodyguard.
Yeah, man. He doesn't stop thinking about stupid stuff like that.
I've also got you were an exec assistant for someone as well, I think.
Okay.
For a lady.
Let me think about that.
Yeah. That was
exec assistant.
Exec assistant for, I didn't write down who for, but anyway, well, we'll leave that one by the way. That was after the bodyguard, apparently, before you were the social media
manager. I've got no idea.
I'll find it out by the end of the podcast. But okay, so you were the third brother to be introduced. I mean, this one you should easily know, obviously. Name your other two brothers.
Tyler and Mark.
That's right, yeah.
I was about to go with their real names then.
Tyler, Scott and Travis. They were Scott and Travis. And what was that like coming into, because I always wonder in a soap, like some people come in as an individual character, some people come in with a family, some people come in and join the family, which you did. What was that like? Is it nice going to an already established family?
Yeah, especially with my lack of experience and lack of confidence, joining other, like having going in with a family and a bit of a posse on set was really helpful. So I highly recommend it if anyone can organise that sort of situation for them when they're joining a soap.
That's the best way to join a soap. Still can't believe, so you literally hadn't done any TV. You hadn't like, so it was basically your first TV job, was it?
Yeah, I'd done like little bits of like, one-liners here and there, but nothing serious. I never ever wanted to be an actor. And here we are,
yeah, just in one of the biggest shows on telly. So Aaron's currently in a relationship with David, as we said. Can you remember his two, I mean, I'm sure you can, again, his other two big relationships?
Yeah, there was Maine Wyatt, who was Nate. Yes, Nate. And there was Tom for a while there.
Brilliant. Yeah. So, I mean, Tom, both really good. I've read really good stories. Tom obviously was the huge, it was kind of like a really dark story for Aaron, wasn't it? It led to deaths in the huge explosion and stuff. And
that was.
That must have been quite nice suddenly turning the corner into this huge dark, because obviously you would have had massive stunts to do as well. That's the best thing about soap, isn't it? You never know where it's going to turn.
Man, you get to like dip your toes into every genre that exists, especially on Neighbours. You've got like drama, there's some action here and there. You've got just comedy and sitcom and romance all the way through. Murder mysteries, it's everything.
What was it like doing the stunts? Because obviously being not working on TV, it must be amazing. I mean, when I first did my first stunt, it was just, I mean, I was absolutely petrified, to be honest. But it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you get so nervous because you don't want to stuff it up, because usually stunts are really expensive and you don't want everyone to have to go over and do it all over again. But I love it. Like, I grew up doing a lot of stupid things that were way more dangerous than any stunts that we've done. So it was I wish we could do more. You're right, though. They are so exciting.
They are so exciting. And you said that just so everyone knows how it works at home, who loves soap. So basically stunts. Yeah, when I did a big fire, the Queen Vic in EastEnders, and we had to have people jumping from the window, and the big boss was on set watching, which is always obviously really weird because you don't know whether to turn around and go, is that okay? Or just be really kind of like, just keep control, which it did. But
yeah,
I know. And he's just sat there watching this huge, the worst thing was as well, is my first block in EastEnders. And then suddenly I had the entire cast that had been on this, that I watched growing up, suddenly all with me, and I'm directing them. It was like mad, and then a fire. But the two of the characters had to jump out this window, and obviously got replaced by stunt people. And I've learned one of the biggest things when you're doing stunts is that stunt people then try to act, but they can't act, so they overact. How you can overact pulling out the window, I didn't know could exist, but it does. They did. So I had to ask him to go again, and he was like, "Oh, that's another 6,000." And I was like, "What? Just for them?"
Oh my god!
An
inch and they'll take a mile.
Yeah. So go on.
Oh, I was just going to say that the big stunt with Toadie and Dee's wedding, when they drove off the cliff in the car. So you know that. For anyone who hasn't seen it, you can probably find it on YouTube, and you'll get ready for the pause button, because the dummy in the car had a wig on to make it look like Dee. And as the car was driving off the cliff, the wig flew out the window. So you can see Dee's hair flying out the window.
Dee suddenly loses her hair by the G-force wind of the cliff. Yeah,
and that was obviously before times when CGI was so available. So they just had to keep it.
That's amazing. I know, it's weird. The worst thing when I've been on is if, I don't know whether you've had this on Neighbours, that were like... like a man comes on, you know, I remember Kane and Emmerdale, Jeff, like the series, like hero, villain, / whatever. And his stunt person came on, and it was just a woman with a short wig on. And he was mortified. Just because she had the similar body shape to him. We've also had girls being, you know, kids, almost kids coming on to play them. But yeah, Matt, it's brilliant, all the behind the scenes stuff. I love it. So back to Aaron. He's now with David. Obviously, great relationship. The nation and the world has taken that on. They've got married, same-sex wedding, which is amazing. I mean, playing an openly gay character, did you have any second thoughts about that? You're obviously a straight guy, but was it just another job to you? I suppose for how it should be, it's just like, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, exactly right. Man, I quit my career after 10 years for I made that decision within 5 minutes, so it wasn't a hard one at all.
Yeah.
It's I don't understand why you would.
No, not at all. Because there's a big thing, well, not a big thing at the moment, but there's these kind of, as everyone does, there's things now about whether straight actors should play gay roles, which I think is maybe debatable, but I also think is silly, because you wouldn't find a murderer to play a murderer, because obviously you need to be able to be an actor.
Yeah, or a stuntman to be an actor.
Or a stuntman to be, yeah, definitely don't ask a stuntman to be an actor. You watch the next time anyone, you're watching stuntman. It's really, and they are brilliant, by the way, but yeah, they just can't act. Also, Takaya. You and Takaya. Obviously, there's a real chemistry there. Is it great when you, again, get put with someone to be in a relationship with and there's just a bond there that's quite visible?
Yeah. That's another big thing. Like what we were talking about, joining the show with brothers or into a family. So Takaya is like me, he's really competitive. So we can sort of bounce off each other in that respect. But he's also like a really hard worker and he puts in so much work to every scene. So you know that you can rely on him if you don't quite understand a particular line or whatever, or you want a different option. He's always there to fall back on. So he's good. It's good. There's a lot of people who might rock up and don't really care that much.
Yeah.
And don't have that much to fall back on. So he's a great pick.
And okay, so moving on to the next question. Before I move on, because you've said actually about David and Aaron that they're perfect, because yeah, Aaron's everything David wants to be and David is everything Aaron wants to be, which I think maybe is the same for real life, isn't it? After a lot of failed relationships, actually don't want someone exactly the same as you.
No, I guess that's how it's like, excuse me for the bad analogy, but it's like a crossbred dog is going to live longer and be healthier because you've got the best of two different breeds.
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it.
So in a relationship, you've got the best traits of each person can combine and become one incredible being.
Yeah, so next time you're thinking about your next partner, just compare it to, go back to this podcast and Matty's analogy of dogs. It's amazing.
Yeah, or just when you're on a date, don't go on dates with anyone you get along with. And it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's true, actually, though. Yeah, because, it's, I mean, God, we could write a whole book from a dating perspective.
Neighbors, everybody needs good neighbors. Just a friendly wave each morning helps to make a better day.
So have you heard of the Duff-Duffs in the UK?
Nah.
So EastEnders always ends with basically, so you would say the last line and it goes duff, 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 which basically you have to do in your head when you're filming it, because it's a really, really long pause that you would have to do at the end. So, so that, like, did I kill him moment takes forever. It's horrendous.
The beauty of soaps.
The beauty of soaps.
So is that you asking what happens?
No, you can't. I don't think you can tell me what happens. I think we're leaving it with everyone as a dot, dot, dot. We'll just, I mean, okay, you can tell me afterwards, because I hate secrets, but yeah. But let's go. So let's go to you. Like I said, really hard to find anything about you, but I wanted to bring up a couple of points which I think are important, because you're also really passionate, which I am, about animal conservation, and you work closely with part-time rangers outside of work. What kind of got you? Have you always been a keen enthusiast of, like, animal conservation?
Yeah, I have. And then I think what happened was I sort of got over using social media all the time. Like, you can post a shirtless photo and get all the likes you want, but it
doesn't. Well, I don't do that. Yeah. Okay. Likes.
No, let's do a test. I reckon you will. Maddie told me to do this. You sort of get over that. And I sort of becoming more of a recluse the older I get. It's weird.
Oh, no.
Get married, have a kid, shut off to the world.
After lockdown, yeah. I mean, now, like, the thought of going up to a busy bar or something, I'm like, let's just have a bottle of wine at home. I think it's happened to us all as you get older, yeah.
Win-win for everyone. But I think, basically, I wasn't a fan of it, and I thought, look, I can't delete this social media account because, unfortunately, that's how you can get an acting gig now, just off that.
Yeah.
And so I thought, if I'm going to use it, why don't I use it for something that is important to me and means well. So anything that can help spread a message or whatever, I'm more than happy to jump on board. And I just signed up to become a wildlife rescuer as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We had like a baby possum. I don't think you guys have possums over there, do you?
No, we don't have them. No. What do they look? It's just for anyone who doesn't know what a possum is, including me, actually. I kind of visualize it. They're not little kangaroos, no.
No, so it's a marsupial, lives in a tree.
Oh, there's okay, yes, yeah, tails. yeah.
Okay, good. So these real big googly eyes and...
They're like bush babies.
Yeah,
because I did a conservation program in South Africa last year called Work on the Wild Side, which was like we went and spent loads of time with these people rescuing animals, rhinos, elephants, and then kind of little places rescuing bush babies and aardvarks. This woman, sorry to divert, was so amazing that to rehabilitate an aardvark, you have to take it for 7-hour walks at night because it's in bed all day. So she used to walk it for 7 hours all night.
That is dedication.
That is dedication, isn't it? But anyway, sorry, you had a baby possum.
Anyway, yeah, it's springtime here, so all of the animals are hatching or giving birth everywhere, and they often fall out of the tree. So I found one that fell out of the tree and called up Wildlife Vic, Wildlife Victoria, who look after injured wildlife. And they basically said, look, if you can do this, put it back into its nest, that'd be really good because we don't have any carers. We can't find any carers to look after these animals. And so a lot of the time these animals don't stand a chance because there's no one to take them.
Oh.
And so, yeah, we put our hand up to do the training and we'll be doing that soon. And hopefully we'll have a little sanctuary here.
So that's amazing. I've also seen from your Instagram that you're a keen chicken fan. You got chickens and you keep bees. You keep bees as well.
You should see my conversations have turned from talking about footy and going to the pub to now I speak to grannies on the street about the health of their chickens and bees and veggies. And
you know what? It's really important stuff though, especially bees. I've learned so much. So basically my neighbour, and I think we should probably do a bee special at some point. She's in Emmerdale. She's in Emmerdale and she keeps bees. And we should actually do like a national bee special together. But I didn't realise that that's why over in the UK this year, wildflowers have been allowed to grow much more and stuff because they're basically dying out. But I've been in the zoo and it's still quite terrifying, I have to say, when they're all like literally on your face.
That suit doesn't stop everything.
No. Luckily, no, I've not got any. Have you been stung then?
Yeah, man. So I caught two swarms just on the weekend. So a swarm is basically when the hive reproduces, they create another queen and then the queens fight it off. And then the old queen says, okay, who's coming with me? And she takes all those bees with her to somewhere else and they'll sort of hang onto a tree nearby. And if you don't get that swarm, then they'll make a home in someone's letterbox and start building combs. So I had to go and collect a swarm.
Wow.
And you usually don't have to, the bees are usually really calm because they're full of honey for food and they don't care about protecting their hive. They're just huddling around the queen. So you don't need a suit, except this time I did. And I got stung 16 times.
Oh my God.
Wow. But that was just a nasty, nasty colony. But speaking of bees, you know, Ryan Maloney is he's a commercial beekeeper now. He's got over 60 hives. I'm sure he's up to 70 by now.
Is he?
Well, yes. He started a company called Beach Box Honey. He builds his own beehives. He's got them absolutely everywhere. He just helped Ben Hall get his first hive. So Ben Hall, who plays Ned.
Do you take the credit for that? Did you get him into bees?
No. He sort of got me into bees. Well, we've got all the like heaps of veggies. This is another sidetrack thing, but basically our zucchinis weren't being pollinated. So I was hand pollinating our zucchinis and we thought we need bees. So we got a beehive and our zucchinis started pollinating themselves with bees. So that's why we started with beekeeping.
Amazing. And Ryan's got the Thomas family, honestly, the most one entrepreneur, like you said, and entrepreneur family there are. They've got their finger in so many pies. It's quite unbelievable. I know Adam really well. And yeah, it's just they need that. Well, they had their own documentary program over here with their dad, actually.
Yeah, I saw that.
But diverting away from Alan Thomas, because of the chickens as well. I mean, I'm so random today with you on the podcast because there's not much to find out about you. We're finding out enough. We're going to do a random chicken quiz. this takes me back to my days on Saturday morning telly where you do the most random stuff. Do you remember the band Atomic Kitten? And we played How Much Is That Pussy in the Window with them on Saturday morning television. There we go. So random chicken quiz. How many vocalizations do chickens have to communicate with each other? You're basically going to learn so much from me today. So how many?
Geez, I thought I'd be good at this. Well, I know that there's two of. So when they lay an egg, it's usually.
Wow.
And when they're trying to tell the other chickens that there might be food around, they go.
Oh, wow. Really? Well, there's 24 of those. 24 vocalizations, including like when the kids tell their parents they're comfortable. Like, amazing. How amazing is that? How many human faces can chickens recognize? I mean, this, I chose questions you wouldn't know, but these are just incredible questions, like answers.
26.
No, 100.
It's only because I said 26 before. 100 faces. Wow.
100 faces. How clever are chickens?
Silly.
You won't know this. You won't know this. I'm just going to tell you this. This is quite cool. So chickens dream by REM, which is rapid eye movement, which means we dream. Yeah. They also dream half of that. And also by USWS, which is unihemisphere slow wave sleep, which means they can sleep with half of their brain sleeping and half of their brain awake.
I can't believe the wormhole you went into about chickens because I've got chickens.
I know, mate. Just for you, I've spent my morning from 6 o'clock looking up random facts about chickens for you. And final chicken question. How many chickens are there in the world? The nearest billion.
Oh, wow. Oh, let's just go 50 billion.
No, it's 25 billion, but still that's a lot of chickens.
A
lot of chickens. And it keeps going, mate, to end. We always end with this. And now you've got this one right after it. I mean, normally we don't have a chicken quiz, but that's the end of you, basically. Bees, chickens, and possums sums up Matty. And now the pointless neighbours game. And you are against some of the other neighbours' cars. I've actually just had this message come in. I haven't listened to this, so I'm going to play this to you now.
Okay.
So, hey, Maddie, can you tell everybody about the chickens and how you live your life and how you're, like, never wearing your shoes down the coast? Because I think that's very important and all the viewers will want to know.
Oh, my God, how weird is that? So I asked Zimmer to send me a message and I was going to swear then. She's just come in with a message with Simon Chickens. How amazing is that?
Was that just then? Geez, you didn't really proofread that beforehand, did you?
No, I didn't. Thank God she didn't say anything bad. Yeah, that was almost a live voice message. But we've already talked about it, Zimmer. You're too late to the game. So she did play this, though, the Neighbours Pointless Facts game. Right. What is Erinsborough an anagram of?
Neighbours.
Yes. Oh, you knew this. She didn't know that. You can rip her for that. To the how many countries watch Neighbours?
50.
60. Not far off.
Oh,
I know. You haven't got one. Just to reiterate, you haven't got one right yet, Sophie, but they're very hard questions, mate. So it's fine. How many days would it take to watch all the episodes back to back?
Oh, wow.
I told you they were pointless.
Some guy put this up on some drunk Aussie guy worked this out online the other day.
Some drunk Aussie guy.
Yeah. So if you were back to back constantly, I think he worked out it would take, something like 7 months.
Well, I've got, oh God, I'm useless in maths. I've got 147 days. Don't know how many months that is. Well, you either go with us on the podcast or the drunk Aussie guy. Up to you, who you choose. there have been 15 births, 41 marriages, but how many deaths in Neighbours? And I'm not sure when this was accurate, but ish.
Sorry, say that again.
So there's been 15 births, 41 marriages, one of yours, and how many deaths so far on Neighbours?
Oh, Oh, man. I'd say there'd be more.
No, only 34. Only 34 deaths.
34 deaths.
Yes.
That's a lot of deaths compared to births.
That's a lot of deaths compared to births.
Areas where population's going down.
I know, only 15 births. That's not many. I think we have about 15 a week over on our shows. Right, well, mate, it's been amazing to have you on the podcast. Thank you for coming on. Now you can hear me properly. We've done chickens. It's been the most random soap podcast, but probably one of the best.
So random. I think we've only just scratched the surface. Happy to come back on again, mate.
Yes,
can't
mate.
Wait to see you come over.
Yes, let's hope we get to work together next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Matty.
Thanks, Lee.
Thank you to the incredible Matty Wilson there. Will he be returning to Neighbours? We don't yet know. Watch this space. I spoke to him this week because I recorded that quite a while ago, that interview, and he doesn't know yet. He's still in the dark. Of course, there's a little teaser with Stephen Dennis, Paul Robinson, who you can also hear on the podcast, Jackie Woodburn, Susan, Alan Fletcher, Carl, and Ryan Maloney, Toady. They're all definitely going back, but the rest of the cast don't know yet. Of course, it was a very tight-knit circle, Jason Herbertson said, who is back as executive producer, and not everyone could know at the same time. So if you want to see Matty back, show your support on Soap from the Box. You can find us on Instagram at Soap from the Box, and Matty's on Instagram as well. I hope you enjoy the interview. Congratulations to Neighbours for being back. I will see you next week.